progress of Gene made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how do you
understand? But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble. More and more people who need help but can't find it.
Struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal
treatment. So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the morning wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. I don't know. I don't know if there is anything quite as sad as the funeral of a 15-year-old boy on his would-be 16th birthday. I don't know. If there is anything as sad as the funeral of a 15-year-old boy who was murdered by the police on what would be his 16th birthday. Yesterday, I was overwhelmed by the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. There had to be at least 400 kids at this funeral. There had to be at least 1,000 people there. And I was struck with it was fascinating that the police didn't show up. I guess they were listening to the wake-up call. Aren't ya, Joe Moqua? My name is Liz Brown. Stay with me.
Hi, this is Brett Rosen, letting you know my show will be on every Thursday from 10 o'clock to 12 o'clock. Yeah, I'll make you think. You may find yourself saying, oh my God, it burns, it burns. It only hurt for a minute. See you then.
Everything the engineer would move. One day the engineer wanted a bite to eat. He let the monkey sit in the...
Prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother on the award-winning Makeup Call with Liz Brown.
Them that's got shall get, them that's not shall lose. So the Bible said, and it still is news. Mama may have, Papa may have, but God bless the child that's got his own, that's got his own.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. Get up. Get to me. We have much, 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 much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609, that is the fax. I just want to share with you that yesterday I went to the church for the funeral of Jeremy. And one of the things that I was struck by was all of the young people, the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of young people there that were in such pain. And I was struck by the fact that they got it. They got what was going on. They got it. They understood that their classmate was shot down, murdered, shot 14 times in the back, in the head at close range by a racist cop. How do I know that he's racist? Oh, racism can be inferred from actions. You don't have to use the N-word. You don't have to have a body swinging from a rope in order for it to be an act of racism. Oh no, you don't have to have all of that. You don't have to have pieces from a cotton gin tied around the neck, anchored to another teenage African child whose body sunk to the bottom of a river at the hands of racists. You don't have to have that. But in this case, I know that this cop is a racist, and that this police chief condones that, because out this cop's mouth, you can almost, if you close your eyes, you can visualize this cop face taunt with rage. Smoke from the barrel of his gun still oozing out of the barrel, hot in his hand. A gun that had just been shot, fired and 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 fired. To eliminate, to assassinate a 15-year-old. You can see him standing there, panting, filled with the thrill of the kill, satisfied with his murderous action, fearless, because he knew that he was a member of a club that would protect him. No, not just protect him, but enable him to fill his gun up again with bullets and get back out on the hunt. Again, how do I know this? How do I know this? I know this because I heard the words of his boss. I heard the word of Jomokwa when he told his cops to take the gloves off. What does that mean? When you tell a cop to take the gloves off, I know what it means. When thugs are sitting around trying to figure out how they're going to have their way at others' expense, I know what it means when thugs say, you know what, it's time to take the gloves off. I know what that means. It means lawlessness, brutality, and murder will soon follow. How does it make you feel, St. Louis? How does it make you feel, New York? How does it make you feel, Zimbabwe, and everybody else in between that's listening to the sound of my voice? How does it make you feel when a police chief says in front of God and cameras and microphones and everybody and everything else, he says it out of his mouth, we are going to take the gloves off? Little Jeremy lying in his teeny coffin, an innocent child in a coffin on his birthday, is proof of how and why this cop felt he could murder with impunity. And how do I know that this was a racist act? Oh, aside from the history, from the Amadou Diallos, from the Emmett Tills, from the Garland Carters. How do I know that this is racism? This panting, raging, racist cop, after the smoke was still in the air from his murderous act, he leaned over. You can just close your eyes and you can see it. He tilted his head to his shoulder. He opened his mouth and he yelled into the microphone that was attached to his police shirt. And he said,
to his gang members that were waiting to come get him after this murderous act. He leaned over to his shoulder and he spit out the words, "Come get me. There are niggas coming from everywhere." His words. How do I know? How do I know? That this man is a racist? That he engaged in a murderous racist act no different than the men who went and hunted down Emmett Till and tied weights to that baby's body, beat him to death, killed that baby, and tried to hide his body, and sunk it, weighed that bitty baby down with metal, and tried to sink his body to the bottom of the river. You know what the difference is, ladies and gentlemen? You know what the difference is between Emmett Till and little Jeremy? Back then, they felt they had to hide it in order to get away with murder. They felt they had, they felt they could murder, but they had to hide the evidence of their murder. Today, in the year 2007, barely into the year 2007. Actually, it took place in 2006, didn't it? But in these days, in these times, they don't even feel they have to hide it. Joe Mokwa looked at the face of the black newspaper, one of them, and said, "He was only shot one time. You a lie." He said he wasn't shot in his back. You a lie. He said that there will be no investigation because this was not a murder. You a lie. Oh, this is murder. Oh, this is murder most foul. And this is murder born out of an environment that embraces such wicked, lawless, racist acts. In the atmosphere of St. Louis, Missouri, in the year 2007. There is so much energy here to say, "Oh, that's all right." How do I know that? How do I know that the energy here at this time in this place says, "Oh, it's all right to kill a baby boy for no reason, to murder him hours before his birthday"? How do I know that that is right? That the atmosphere speaks of that in St. Louis, Missouri, on January 10th, 2007. I know this because one of the white-shirted cops said to a family member, "See, I would have shot him more times than that. I would have emptied my clip and then gone and got another clip and put more bullets into an innocent 15-year-old child. My name is Liz Brown. Write it down. LIZZBROWN. I'm coming back. Stay with me."
Good morning, St. Louis. 29 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Westbound 270 between 255 and 203. Look for it to be closed due to an accident following a police chase. Arch helicopter responding and the highway's closure for a few minutes to remove the patient. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Mason. Look for slow traffic. Northbound 270 at Gravoy and Big Bend. It's slow. Eastbound 70 at Bryan Road 379. Expect slow traffic. Eastbound 270 from Bell Fountain all the way to Chain of Rocks Bridge is slow due to an accident earlier. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the gravel pit in the landing looks good. Eastbound 40 from Spady through McKnight is on the move. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry through West Florissant looks good. Northbound 55 between Butler Hill and 270-255 interchange. Look for no delays. Westbound 55-70 at 3rd Street into the Poplar Street Bridge. You can expect some traffic to be holding up there as well. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and Friday. Sunny with a high in the upper 40s this evening. Clear until early morning, then becoming partly cloudy with a low in the upper 30s. Then for Thursday, breezy, partly sunny in the morning, mostly cloudy throughout the day. Chance of rain in the afternoon with a high around 50. Then Friday, occasional rain, highs in the mid-50s. However, they will be falling in the afternoon. Currently, we have 25 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 26. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
This new year, put meeting the love of your life at the top of your list.
New Year's Eve day, I said, I'm ready for eHarmony. I decided I really wanted to find a long-term relationship.
Hi, this is Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com. There's no experience more magical than falling in love with that one person in the world that sees you, accepts you, and loves you passionately for who you really are.
He loves me for me.
She sees me more for who I really am.
Being seen and loved for who I am is incredible.
eHarmony helped me find the love of my life.
Make this the year that it happens for you. Check out eHarmony.com and see if it feels comfortable to you. Do it now and get your personality profile free. Let's get started finding your soulmate today. eHarmony.com, because it shouldn't take a lifetime to find the love of your life.
This will be an everlasting love for me.
Coming up in the 5 o'clock hour on today's Sloan Ranger Show, Lloyd and his guest, author Sean Scallon, discuss the future of non-major political parties. And in the 6 o'clock hour, Lloyd talks to Judge Robert H. Durker about his new book, The Tyranny of Tolerance. That's the Sloan Ranger, tonight from 5 till 7, here on AM 920 WGNU.
What you need to know, when you need to know it. The award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up, get up, get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call. You're on the Wake Up Call. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Liz. How are you doing this
morning? Good morning.
Good morning. It was about the child case. I think the only way you're ever going to solve that problem, that guttering type of problem, is to clean the gutter up. Just get rid of the politicians that support this kind of thing openly from top to bottom, and that's the only way you're going to solve it. And I think it's gotten to that very extreme, and it's a shame. Hello?
I'm here. I'm trying to understand what you're saying. In terms of the murder of Jeremy?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and explain to me again what you're saying.
I'm saying, from what I've seen in St. Louis, the higher ups there are doing this. It's probably going up to the city council and probably the mayor himself who supports these police officers. You said yourself that it seems like they're given an open pass to do whatever they want to do.
Mm-hmm. There is an atmosphere in the city of St. Louis. That is correct. Absolutely, that is correct. All right, Michael, thank you.
Thank you.
1-877-920-WGNU. And if you want to email me, you can do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. Or you can fax me at 454-6609. That's 454-6609. In the 8 o'clock hour today, we are going to be talking to the Green Party. How do we assess these first 100 days of the Democrats? How do we assess what the Democratic Party is going to be doing, what should be done? We talk to Democrats and we talk to others to find out, to get their impression. We're going to be talking to the Green Party. A national representative from the Green Party will be joining us in the 8 o'clock hour to have that discussion. Why? Because this is riveting radio on the wake-up call. 1-877-920-WGNU. Robert.
Yeah, you there, Liz?
I'm outstanding.
Liz, I want to ask you a question. I want to know, have anybody talked to the black officer? How do they feel about this? Have anybody said anything at all? Because I can't imagine this happening, and I want to know how they feel about it. Because I couldn't believe I could be a city cop and knowing this going on. I mean, it was just about destroying me. So I want to know, how do the black cops, are they respond? Are they saying anything?
Well, and I think that is a very good question, and I think that your observation about how this would weigh on you to be in that job, it's a testimony to, I mean, when you have really, really caustic and poisonous environments, sometimes when you go into those environments, you become caustic and poisoned, okay? There are many, 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 I would dare say the majority, the overwhelming majority of black cops that serve here in the city of St. Louis have to fight off all of this stuff all of the time. They and some of them become damaged by it. It's a horrible, I understand and I feel you on that. It's got to be a horrible environment that you're, just think about it. I'm going to be doing a show later this year about a multi-million dollar lawsuit that was filed and won on discrimination from the Hostess Bakery Company. One of the employees there talked about an African man, talked about the racist environment that he lived in. His boss told him this joke, Robert. Let me tell you the joke that they told him. That was not the joke, but this racist joke that they told him. They asked him, how do you know if a black man is well hung? And the answer was, when his feet stop swinging.
Oh, my God.
And so he won tens of millions of dollars because of that, being in that racist environment. Now, my point is this. Think about the racist environment that black cops are in the city of St. Louis, when you have this white racist cop hollering over his microphone to the rest of the, for God and everybody else to hear out here, come get me, the ends are coming from everywhere.
God, I can't imagine that.
And that's why we have this, and the reason why that white cop felt so comfortable, and the reason why that white cop's police report is not out. He hasn't filed a police report on this. It's because he's being protected by Joe Mokwa and this racist police department. This is a racist police department because, like that Hostess case that I just told you about, it starts at the top with the people telling telling the jokes and accepting the environment of this racism. He wouldn't have done that. He wouldn't have done that if he knew that it was not acceptable in the police department.
Absolutely right. Thank you, Liz.
Take care of yourself, Robin.
Appreciate it.
All right. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Y'all need to get to me. Y'all need to get to me. And because this is unacceptable. How are you going to bury a 16-year-old on his birthday? A 16-year-old that was murdered by this police department. And the chief of police, Joe Moak, was saying he was only shot one time. Joe Moak should lose his job simply for saying that. That baby had 14 bullet holes in him. 14 bullet holes in him. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
I called to talk about the shooting, and I guess some of the things I want to say is kind of, well, duh, you know, to most of your listeners, but I guess I wanted to address some things to white folks out in the audience. Because I was struck at the funeral yesterday with the dignity of how everybody handled themselves. And, you know, there's such a racial divide in this town, and most of us white folks have never been up in that community. And for that community to have suffered an indignity like this, you know, what that cop said over the airwaves, it's just unimaginable to me. And this young kid shot down, and people handled themselves with such dignity and with such grace. And the emotion in the church was so strong, but, you know, there were older folks giving wise counsel to the younger members of the community. And, you know, I just was so struck by the common humanity that we tend to forget about, because, you know, it's those people over there in that part of town. We don't know anybody. We don't have any connections. And it's so easy to dismiss, you know, from a white person's point of view, it's too easy to dismiss this kind of thing and not to feel it in your heart. So I just wanted to put that out. You know, I really strongly support what people are saying about that Moqua has to go. But the problem with that is we don't have control of our police department. And, you know, that comes from Jeff City and from a governor who said, you know, who would want to live in St. Louis? Those are all, you know, people other than me who would want to live in St. Louis. And we don't have local control of our department, and so the mechanism for getting rid of somebody like that, the lack of responsiveness that's built into the police department is so strong, and I think local control is really an issue whose time has come.
And Joe Moqua must go as well. Thank you, John.
He must. And just one other thing, I mentioned it quickly at the end of an hour yesterday, but I'm really hoping that the Board of Aldermen will get involved in this and hold hearings specifically on this case. But, you know, when Moqua said take the gloves off, he also was announcing the initiation of a new tactical unit that's going to target neighborhoods, and these are the people who he's giving his personal okay to take the gloves off.
Mm.
And I think the Board of Aldermen needs to hold hearings on what the heck does that mean, what is this tactical unit specifically designed to do, who's in charge of it, what's the history. I know the history of some of the people who are being put in charge of this tactical unit, and it needs to be brought out to the public.
Absolutely, John.
And it's a way that we can start this whole movement towards local control. It's for the Board of Aldermen just to say, look, you know, we're involved. We're participating in this.
Absolutely.
We're going to have a say.
Absolutely. Thank you, John.
Okay. Bye-bye.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. I want to give a shout out to all of the members of the International Urban Institute that stood strong yesterday, had our words heard. Brother Bob, Brother Mac, standing strong out there on behalf of the International Urban Institute. We all must. We all must. My name is Liz Brown. I will get to all of you all, I promise, when I get back.
travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears, why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
Where else, where else, where else indeed? Washers, dryers, refrigerators, stove, and there's a special sale coming up starting tomorrow. I'm going to be talking about that in a little later. Stay tuned. Get your Sears cards ready. Get your Sears money ready. There's going to be a great sale going on tomorrow, but get on down there at Union and Natural Bridge, and when you get there, tell them I told you to.
Nothing can be truer than the phrase, all politics is local. That's why Liz Brown is adding the Automatic Watch to the award-winning Wake Up Calls lineup. Every Monday at 7 a.m., Liz will be joined by Alderman Lewis Reed to discuss the comings and goings of the St. Louis Board of Aldermen. Do you want to know the latest bill passed? Do you want to know why it passed? And do you want to know who voted for and who voted against? Well, you're going to have to join Liz Brown when she talks Aldermanic politics with Alderman Lewis Reed every Monday at 7 a.m. Lewis Reed is going to bring local politics up close and personal, and you never know who else will be joining the discussion. The Aldermanic Watch, every Monday at 7 a.m., only on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Hi, I'm Lorraine Davis, home mortgage consultant with Wells Fargo.
And I'm Jacques Land with the 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis.
And we're the hosts of Let's Get Wealthy, investing in more ways than one. We'll discuss home ownership as a means to build wealth, create positive personal finances, stabilize our neighborhoods, and acquire the American dream.
Tune into our show, Let's Get Wealthy, every Wednesday at 11 a.m. to get some food for thought during your lunch hour. Sponsored by the 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis, Wells Fargo Housing Foundation, and produced by the Platinum Group.
Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net, the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Yes, good morning.
Donna Jones, school board member. Thank you so much for calling.
Yes, I called because I also attended the funeral, and it was so sad. The saddest part to me was watching the children's faces, and just to imagine the thought of them feeling so unprotected, that they were so vulnerable.
Yep.
You know, and that was the hurting part, and the messages that were on the back of their shirts.
I saw all of that.
Yeah, the protest in their hearts, their little hearts. These are little kids, a lot of them, and teenagers. They were crying.
These are babies.
They were upset. They were just angry, and I think it was just even more than just their friend being gone. Just the whole ideal of black teens and black youth being under attack constantly. And what struck me also, driving through the neighborhood, the abandoned buildings, the vacant lots, the lack of economy in the neighborhood, no place for them to really go and become prosperous. You know, it was a constant reminder, and it was absolutely terrible. And at the end, when we came out, the kids had blocked the street. And, you know, normally some people would probably get mad, and I was like, they were right there in front of me, and I looked at them, and I could see the pain on their face and the anger, and I just, you know, looked at them and smiled, and they let us through. But my son told me that they wanted to have a parade for their friend, you know, to say happy birthday, or just to let people know, hey, he was important to us. And so I just want the community to resonate on that. As you walk around and look at our youth that so many of us think we're afraid of, this is our future. And we have to protect our kids. We have to surround them and protect them and let them know, hey, we're here for you. And if you're so afraid, how about taking time out to turn around to them sometimes and talk to them like human beings? Because whatever you give to someone is what you usually get back. And give love, you get it back.
Donna, I'd like to ask you something as a school board member. As soon as we get off the line here, could you pick up the phone and give the superintendent a call? And here's what I want you to do. Why don't you call me off the air, okay, because there's something I'd like for you to ask the superintendent to do
okay.
on behalf of these kids. So call me at the top of the hour, please.
Okay.
All right. Thank
Bye-bye.
You for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. Sam.
Yes. Good morning, Ms. Brown.
Oh, Korean veteran. I'm sorry. Good morning.
Yes, Ms. Brown, I was unable to get there, but you know my partner was there.
Yes, I saw her.
And I tell you, I've gotten mad here, and I always believe, look, right is right, but when you do me wrong, I believe an eye for an eye. Yeah, and I don't want to curse and use profanity, but I mean, I could do some wiping out of people myself when you do that. I put this as I see white policemen in our area, the things about if they messing with these youngsters and stopping them and going on. I think the black community is the area like what they don't mind coming in doing anything they want. I think you ought to get all these white policemen out of the black areas and have our neighborhoods patrolled by black policemen. The one thing I must tell you this, I'm a senior citizen. When I drive down the street, I'm always, when white policemen is behind me, around me, I don't trust them. You never hear one thing about black policemen, they may crack your head, but I'll be damned if they're going to shoot you and kill you. Why is it black policemen don't kill white people and white people and the police and things like that? You never hear that. I said, that's my thing. I'd go up there if the state can't give our people of the city control over the police department. I go up there and ask for our black community to be patrolled by Afro-American police. This is a damn shame. To kill that boy laying on, and then the lie, but it goes all the way to the top.
That's fact.
All over the nation.
That's
fact. I'm tired of, I tell you, if a few of them come up with the gloves, we take our gloves off, then I think it'd be something different. I could live with that going down. But going down as a man and going down fighting. I was in Korea and places like that. If we can go other places and die for here, you ought to be able to stand up for yourself.
Thanks for your call.
I'm mad.
I know. I am too. 1-877-920-WGNU. Robin.
Good morning, Ms. Brown. How are you?
I'm outstanding.
I attended the funeral as well yesterday, and I brought my 14-year-old son with me. And, you know, he was dumbstruck. He just, you know, he just didn't understand it. And I explained to my son, I said, Jordan, I said, that could be you,
mm-hmm.
you know, outside with your friends playing. And I've got a 17-year-old son, and Ms. Brown, he has a girlfriend. And when my son leaves the house to go catch the bus to go visit his girlfriend, I am on pins and needles the time he leaves until he gets back.
It is wrong to have to live like that, Robin.
It really is. And I know he knows how to handle himself. You know, he's not disrespectful.
But that has nothing to do with it.
I know, that has
nothing to do with it. That has nothing to do with it.
But you have to worry about he's in a different neighborhood. Something might happen to him like that way. He might be at the bus stop. A police will come up on him. You know, it's just so many different things that young men should not have to worry about.
And Mocha should get on the air and apologize and resign for saying that he's going to take the gloves off,
mm-hmm.
for lying to the black newspaper saying there was only one gunshot in that baby, that he wasn't shot in his back, that there isn't going to be an investigation. He should step down, and there should be a civilian review board, and there should be hearings on this shooting, and there should be hearings on this death squad that Mocha's trying to put together of cops to take their gloves off.
Because it sends chills through my spine, you know. Every time I think about it, you know, it's just unacceptable. My mother, she was coming from the south side last Friday, you know, last Thursday, and she wears her hair real short, and it was dark outside. It was nighttime. She was pulled over by a police officer, a white police officer on Morgan Ford. And from the back, you know, with short hair, and, you know, she's a skinny lady, she looked like a boy from the back. And when the police officer walked up to the car, to the driver's side, when he finally realized that it was a lady, female, then he told her that she had ran a stop sign. And my mother, you know, she challenged him. She said, no, I didn't run a stop sign. And he told her, not this stop sign, a stop sign previous to that.
He's
and
a lie.
And she said it was a red light.
He's a lie.
A lie. He didn't give her a ticket. didn't ask for a driver's license or insurance, just let her go on her way. But if it had been my son...
That's a fact. That's a fact. And he was looking... Wait a minute. He was looking for your son.
That's right.
He was looking for your son to give him some hassle.
That's right. That's right.
Thanks for your call.
Thank you, Ms. Brown.
1-877-920-WGNU. Sam.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
What the lady just said at the end about her mom sounds similar to what happened to me in front of the house where I stay at. But I wound up getting arrested.
Mm.
And they charged me with resistance. Now, they said I'm running a stop sign. I wanted to ask you, during the time that you were out on your vacation, have you had a chance to see what was going on down in New Orleans where they were the cops were shooting people on the bridge?
No. Recently, cops were shooting people?
This was recently. It's seven of them involved in it, Liz. This one lady asked for her face not to be shown, and I'll tell you why. She was hit by some bullets, okay? She said she had the searing pain. She said when she woke up, her arm was leaned to the side of her. It had been completely shot off.
Her arm was shot off?
Yes. This was on the national news on Channel 5. It happened during last week, and they had an update because seven of them were being, they turned themselves in. You know, all their
buddies were cops.
These were cops. Their buddies were standing around. Another man and his brother was sort of, the man was sort of like in Gregory's Bell situation, mentally challenged. Him and his brother were fleeing because they heard all the gunshots. Well, the cop chased, the one brother got away, or he got caught up, but the one went back towards the apartment where they stayed at, and this white guy and his wife happened to be standing out. He was in the window. She was out on the balcony. He was looking down. They were looking down when the cop shot the man in the back.
Jesus.
Seven times.
Jesus.
And the coroner did a witch call, and he was the one that said, hey, this man's been shot in the back. And this is, when you get a chance...
I will definitely look at that.
Please put that out there on the airwaves. I told Irene last week about it when you were out.
Okay, right. I will definitely do that. Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Tim.
How are you doing, Liz?
I'm outstanding.
Just to make corrections for your last caller. What he was talking about, he's talking about those New Orleans cops that happened during Katrina.
Oh, this happened during Katrina.
Right, there was seven officers that got indicted.
Okay.
Okay, but what I want to say to you about is, I mean, people, as a black man, as a young black man, look, if you're a racist, what better job to get to be a cop in the St. Louis City? I mean, come on. I mean, you get, if you're a racist, you don't like black folks, and you don't like, you never like black folks. I mean, the best job to get is to be a police officer. You look what's going on in Houston, where it came out the other day where only the blacks were the only ones being used by tasers. You know, that was on CNN the other day. You know, and the problem is nobody likes us, and it's real evident. Whether you be white, whether you be Arab, you know, and it's sad to say, whether you're black now, you know, even that goes for those black cops. Nobody likes us, and what it is, the black officers should be ashamed of themselves, who, like I said, who sit there and let white officers patrol our neighborhoods, because you go down in Baton, and that's all you see is white officers, you know, and no black officers. But then the same thing, like we went to the basketball place at St. Vince Community Center the other day, shoot basketball, and the guys, the park ranger, white park ranger's up there running guys' plates while they play basketball and giving them tickets. And you know they have the people don't have nowhere to go in the first place, but as soon as they find somewhere to go to get off the street, you run their place and tell them if they come back.
This is a park ranger that was running people's place?
This is a park ranger at St. Vincent Community Center in Pagedale. This happened last Wednesday. And I told the guy, I said, man, guys, don't have the, man, you know, they're trying to stay off the street. He said, well, you're defrauding the state of Missouri. That's exactly what he told me. No, it is sad.
I need to get off the air and not cuss.
That's ridiculous.
A park ranger's job is to go and run people's plates.
That's right. That's exactly what he's doing. He did the same thing back in 98, and he stopped people from coming. But this is 2007. He did it last week, last Wednesday. A park ranger at St. Vincent Community Center. That's a shame. So I just want to say out there that, you know, nobody likes us, and we just really need to stick together and come together as one with the black officers, and, you know, let's pull this right. Thank you.
Thanks for your call. St. Louis Public Schools Watch is coming up in the next hour. My name is Liz Brown. This is Riveting Radio. I'll be back.
The King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that Congress has seen me. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemy of man, tyranny, poverty, disease,
for the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
I'm Daria Aldinger. We've been hearing rumblings about it for a long time. Tonight, President Bush is expected to tell the nation that he is sending thousands of additional service members to Iraq. ABC's Ann Compton has a preview of tonight's address.
Boots and benchmarks are the key. President Bush is poised to send in about 22,000 additional combat troops. The 1st Brigade is in Kuwait, ready to move. The benchmarks will be goals for the Iraqi government to take over all of its provinces by the end of this year. Ann Compton, ABC News, the White House.
Some of the first to go could be at Fort Bragg, North Carolina. Specialist Benjamin Wilkins says if he's called, he is more than ready.
I'm looking forward to meeting up with my guys there. I got a four-man fire team. They're my boys now. I've been training them the last 6 months for the fight, and I want to get over there and lead my men.
Many Democrats are against the plan. They're vowing to block it. The Democrats' 100 hours of reform ticks on. Next issue, raising the minimum wage.
Connie Martin raises her son on minimum wage.
So with the $800 that I'm living off of, my rent is $5.25. My gas is $1.58.
She'd be in for a raise to $7.25 an hour if Congress passes and the president signs the first minimum wage increase in a decade. But Republicans worry about the impact on small businesses. California Congressman Buck McKeon says they create two-thirds of the nation's new jobs.
Why would we do anything to endanger their momentum?
Republicans hope to add a tax break to offset the cost of higher wages. Stephen Portnoy, ABC News, Washington.
There have been 10 homicides so far this year in Baltimore. An off-duty police officer is the latest victim. The suspect in that case had a lengthy rap sheet, 17 prior arrests, and a trial on gun charges pending. Have you ever noticed you crave coffee, tea, or maybe soda when you're starting an exercise program? A new study says, at least where women are concerned, it could be to ease muscle aches after a workout. Researchers at the University of Georgia say two cups works better than most over-the-counter pain relievers. This is ABC News.
Feels like I get this same cold every year. So I got the same nighttime medicine I always get. But I was congested all night, so it wasn't the same.
Many cold medicines have changed. NyQuil Cold Flu Relief no longer has a decongestant. New Tylenol Cold Nighttime does. It helps relieve more of your worst cold symptoms, and it helps you sleep. It's one more step towards a pain-free world. Stop. Think. New Tylenol Cold. Take only as directed.
A three-day weekend is perfect for planning a home project. So head to Lowe's and take 20% off all special order carpeting or 10% off all in-stock Whirlpool washers and dryers priced $397 or more. It's a plan. Offer good while supplies last. Put it all on your Lowe's consumer credit card and ask for special financing for 12 months on any purchase of $299 or more January 11th to January 15th, 2007. Whirlpool washer and dryer offer not valid on special order, previous sales, or installation fees. See store for details. Lowe's. Let's build something together.
It's another step toward the Oscars. The Directors Guild of America nominations are out. Here's ABC's Dave Alpert.
The directors of Dreamgirls, The Departed, Babel, The Queen, and Little Miss Sunshine are competing for the DGA's top award.
It's wide open. You know, you could say any of these might win.
Directors Guild President Michael Apted says the winner of the DGA award usually takes home the Oscar.
Of the 58 winners that we've had in our 58 years, this is the 59th, 52 on to win the Academy Award.
The winner of the Directors Guild Award will be announced February 3rd, 4 weeks before the Oscars. Dave Alford, ABC News, Hollywood.
Producer Carlo Ponti, the man behind classics like Dr. Zhivago, has died. He won an Oscar for that movie. Ponti was also married to actress Sophia Loren. They had one of the longest marriages in the entertainment business. They'd been together for decades. Ponti died in the Swiss hospital overnight. He was 94. Daria Alvinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
With this hour's WGNU News Update, I'm Peyton Colston. 10 more counties in Illinois might be getting federal aid to help recover from the ice and snowstorms earlier this winter. Senators Dick Durbin and Barack Obama, along with Congressman John Shimkus and Jerry Costello, are pushing for FEMA disaster aid for St. Clair, Madison, Monroe, Bond, Christian, Greene, Jersey, Montgomery, Sangamon, and Shelby counties. FEMA aid helps with cleanup and business recovery. 26 Illinois counties have already been okayed for FEMA assistance in the disaster. Governor Rod Blagojevich has okayed state aid for 49 counties in Illinois. Meanwhile, Democrats in St. Charles County are looking for a candidate to fill the 4th District County Council seat vacated by new state representative Doug Funderburk. County Democratic officials hope to choose a nominee by Monday. And a note from the world of sports in men's college basketball, the SLU Billikens, stinging from 2 losses in a row to open their Atlantic 10 schedule, are at home tonight against Rhode Island. The Bills dropped one on the road to St. Bonaventure and another at home to Duquesne. The Bills are 10-5 overall, while Rhode Island's Rams hold a 9-7 mark. Tip-off tonight at Scott Trade Center is at 7 o'clock. I'm Peyton Colston, and that's this hour's update of WGNU News here on AM 920.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. Let's take a look at your traffic and your weather. Westbound 270 between 157 and 203. Look for stop traffic due to an accident. Right lane's blocked. It's due to an earlier police chase. Eastbound 270 between Bell Fountain and Chain of Rocks Bridge. Look for slow traffic due to right lane blocked, and that's due to an accident. Westbound 5570 onto the Poplar Street Bridge. From the Illinois 203 mark, look for slow traffic. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at the gravel pit all the way into the landing, look for slow traffic there as well. Eastbound 40 from 141 to Mason is creeping along. Westbound 64 from 25th onto the 5570 merge, look for some delays as well. Northbound 55 at Arsenal and 44, look for some delays there. Eastbound 44 between Soccer Park and 270 is slow around that interchange. Eastbound 70 at Bryan Road and Mid Rivers Mall, look for slow traffic due to a cleared accident west of Mid Rivers. And westbound or northbound 270 between Teson Ferry through Big Bend, look for some delays there as well. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your weather. Sunny today, high in the upper 40s this evening, clear until early in the morning, becoming partly cloudy with a low in the upper 30s for Thursday, breezy, partly sunny in the morning, mostly cloudy, chance of rain in the afternoon, high around 50. And Friday, rain likely, high in the 50s, but it will be falling in the afternoon. Currently, we have 25 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 26. Stay tuned for more of the Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. Is up next at St. Louis Schools Watch with Peter Downs. I'm Howard Morton. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Peace all over the world. Martin
Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
This is St. Louis Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly in-depth look at developments affecting the education of our children.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Wednesday. That means that it's St. Louis Public Schools Watch time. I am Liz Brown, and I'm here with Peter Downs. Peter, good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
You know what? I was just thinking, as we were talking off the air, who would have thought that 3 years ago that we would have so much to talk about every single week? It's never ended. Not once have we not had something serious, significant, and huge to talk about as we've been doing this for, 2 years now?
Yes.
2 years
yes.
now?
Yes. And I didn't think it would go on this long.
No.
But we are, I guess trench warfare was this a determined battle.
Yes, it is.
In this city and state, there are determined foes of public education who, they've suffered several defeats, but they have a lot of resources and a lot of forces.
Yes,
to keep battling.
And I think that a lot of folks that didn't get in the beginning when we were predicting this, when we were foretelling this of what was going to happen, is I think a lot of people now are starting to get it from the perspective of, oh, these people really want the money and the power in St. Louis, that people are starting to reconfigure their thought process about what's going on in the St. Louis public schools and understanding that this is not a policy battle. This is a political battle. We are fighting politics to take over this district, not you have that voucher, you want vouchers, we don't want vouchers. It's not that at all. It's a politics, isn't it?
Well, it is. It is very much. It's yeah, I was thinking last night, there was a vote last night, and a lot of press came up asking why I put a resolution on that I'm sure we'll talk about later.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is that this is really a which side are you on
mm-hmm.
kind of battle.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about the rights of children to quality education and the control of the money.
But that's
is it going to go for the children, or is it going to go into the pockets of people just trying to make money off of it?
And again, that's a political
battle.
That's a political battle because it's from their perspective, it's not about that we want to educate these kids differently. We want to find a new way to make certain that the kids get educated. It's not about that at all. They want the money. They want to control the district, period, dot. And there are people like you and other people out here saying that, you know, but it's about the kids. Not for them, it's not. It's all about the politics.
No, it's not. And we, over the last year and a half, we've talked, and I know you've talked, before I started on the show, you were talking about things going back 3.5 years
mm-hmm.
with Roberti. And we can look over 3.5 years, and when the mayor's people were controlling the board, and we can see one thing after another that was bad for education, bad for the kids, but it made money for somebody.
Exactly.
And that's what they did. Somebody was making money off of it. Hey, let's do it.
It's a good thing. It's a good thing. And if somebody else wants to make money off of it, come on down. We got a check for you as well.
That's right.
And people need to understand also and make the entire and connect the dots with this as well, Peter, that when you are able to hand people checks for money in the world of politics, when you're able to hand a carpet company a check for some work, if you're able to hand a law firm a check for some money that comes out of the St. Louis Public Schools, politically speaking, you can build an alliance with that person to further your political agenda.
Because, that's right.
You know,
absolutely.
I mean, so it's like Mayor Daley is using the money for the public schools in Chicago to give contracts to his friends and allies to build up his political base. So goes the attempts of the St. Louis Public School, people outside of the St. Louis Public Schools, to control the St. Louis Public Schools.
Absolutely. We've said again and again, you know, that money is the lifeblood of politics. And we have politicians who have seen this big pot, hundreds of millions of dollars in St. Louis Public School, and say, hey, I can use this to buy my friends.
There you go. We're going to be back. St. Louis Public Schools Watch, Liz Brown. I'm here with Peter Downs. Stay with us.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers. And we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
Hi, I'm Randy Grimm. Join me Fridays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. for Animal Tales on AM 920 WGNU. Animals have always mattered to me, so that's why we discuss the issues that matter most to you and your animal companions. Join us as our special guests and I examine puppy mills, parrots, turtles, ferrets, and answer your questions about pet care. For 2 hours of fur, friends, and fun every week, join me, Randy Grimm, for Animal Tales, Fridays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on AM 920 WGNU. Woof.
This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
This is, good morning, Miss Liz. This is Amir Mahoney calling you from LaCree's School, second grade, from 209. Miss Liz, I had a good time with you. Miss Liz, our class is watching Roots. Kuta Kite knows his roots. His mother name is Dita, and his father name is Amaru. Kita has dignity. Have a good summer. This is Amir Muhammad from room 209, where dignity reigns supreme. Love you.
Love you.
What a wonderful world.
This is the St. Louis City Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly feature of the award-winning wake-up call.
Welcome back to the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. And, Peter, there is a bus that's going up to Jefferson City
tomorrow morning
at 6:15. And this is a bus to for the Missouri State Board of Education meeting. This is the meeting that they were supposed to be voting on whether or not there would either be a state takeover of the St. Louis Public School District or if there's going to be a three-person panel that was the governor, Francis Slay, and Shrewsbury taking over the St. Louis Public Schools. There's supposed to be a vote on this. We don't know if there's going to be a vote on this, but they're meeting tomorrow. We know
right.
that.
We know it's on their agenda.
Okay.
It's on their agenda. It's one of the first things on their agenda. Their meeting starts at 9:30.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some opening stuff. And this is number one on the agenda, but there's something like, 30, 37 items on their agenda.
And when you say this is on their agenda, what have they articulated that this to be?
The recommendations from the Danforth and Freeman committee.
Okay, so it doesn't, because the lawyer in me it wants to know the specificness of it. Is it as specific as saying a vote on
this? No, it's
not
that specific.
Okay, so it's just, so it could very well just be a discussion on it as opposed to any kind of vote on it.
It could be the Commissioner of Education saying, here's the report from the special commission we established, chaired by William Danforth and Frankie Freeman. Take it home and read it.
Okay.
It could be that.
Okay.
We don't know what it's going to be, but
it's important that people go down there and have their presence known, because, like you and I were talking off the air, Peter, a lot of people only know what's happening in the St. Louis public schools because of what they read in the paper. And when you read the stuff in the paper, it is completely inaccurate about the reality on the street of what's happening in the St. Louis public schools. The paper speaks from a specific civic progress, Francis Slay agenda of supporting taking over the schools.
Oh, absolutely. You mentioned earlier this is a political battle.
Right.
It's a battle over money.
Mm-hmm.
It's a battle between those who want to stop kids from getting an education and those who want kids mm-hmm. get an education. And the main paper in town is, for 3 years, they've very much been on one side
the
of
only
that
daily
political
paper.
Band. The only daily paper in town.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very, very much on one side. They mm-hmm. were part of Slay's effort from the beginning.
Absolutely.
From before he picked the slate,
absolutely.
They were part of the effort to
absolutely.
Pick a slate and run
absolutely.
It. And they have backed it. And editorial, they've said, we've backed this and we have to stick with it.
Yeah.
And there's been a lot of twisted reporting coming out of that paper mm-hmm. in order to find, they go through amazing acrobatic contortions in order to try and support the
Houdini would be
what
impressed.
They've been doing.
Mm-hmm. Houdini would be impressed. But the bus, there's a bus leaving tomorrow morning at 6:15. Call 781-2077 to reserve a seat. Yesterday I was telling folks to show up, but I guess you have to call now at 781-2077. Or if you're interested in carpooling, it's a great idea to go down there, bring your cars down there, and follow the buses up to Jefferson City. They're going to be meeting in the governor's office building, room 450, at 9:30 a.m. in Jefferson City. So if you're going to take your own car up there, go on up there, but be there tomorrow and call me when you get there to report on what is going on up there, because it's important that people go up to Jefferson City, buttonhole the legislators, talk to them about what the reality is on the ground here in the city of St. Louis. There is no public interest in a three-person person taking over this board. There is no public interest in a state takeover of this board. And there is no public interest in the eliminating of elected officials and their power as representatives for the public school board.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. I would add there's no public interest in having voucher proponents
absolutely.
Slay and Blunt
absolutely.
Take over the board.
Absolutely. Or Jim Shrewsbury, who's been missing in action on
any
this
of,
issue. Any of these people.
Right. We have an elected board. The citizens have spoken. 4 years ago, they trusted Slay and said, we'll give you a try. And everything since then, they've said,
oh,
you're tearing down the school system. We
were nuts. We were nuts. We were wrong to do this. Let's do a do-over.
Let's do a do-over.
And get rid of these people that came in here and just slaughtered our district and lost dozens and dozens of accreditation points as a result of it. So let's talk about the meeting, Peter. There was a meeting last night, and then I want to talk about the meeting before the meeting last night. But what happened last night?
All right. We'll head back in time.
Yes,
sir.
We
okay.
will.
Last night there was an administrative meeting. That's where there are actually two meetings.
Mm-hmm.
The main thing was an administrative meeting. That's where we set the agenda for next week. There was also a work session on two issues that came before the board in December.
Mm-hmm.
And since just a quick reminder, there were six board members at the meeting of December. Three of the members, Archibald Jackson and O'Brien, voted against approving some budget transfers and against another item on the agenda that the superintendent thought were important. Afterwards, they had a special meeting. They claimed they didn't know what they were doing. And they said, oh, the superintendent, they said, you didn't explain it to us. So there was a work session yesterday to explain to everybody what these items were.
Explain it to me, Lucy.
Jackson and O'Brien. You know, I'm sorry, Archibald and O'Brien, two of the three people who said they didn't understand, they didn't bother to show up for this opportunity to be educated.
I understand the resistance on both their part. They don't strike me as people that want to be educated. So I understand why, in all fairness, I understand why they didn't attend the meeting. Go ahead.
So there's a work session on the budget and on the and the expenses that were higher than were initially budgeted and the expenses that were lower than initially budgeted. So why we should move money from where we have it to pay for the expenses we have.
So this is like, I don't know, a Board of Education meeting for dummies. You know, I mean, come on.
Yes, yes.
You know, all right, got it. So now what? Now what happens?
Well, on those, like I said, that was a work session. You can't have any votes. So those items will be on the agenda next week for a vote on.
Okay. So you asked for an interesting resolution, I believe it was, or a motion. You made an interesting motion at the end of the meeting. Talk to us about that.
Yes, at the end of the meeting, where we're putting items under new business, I tried to introduce a motion. The way it works is a motion to place on the agenda for discussion.
Okay.
A motion to have the district attorneys defend the rights of the voters of St. Louis to elect their school board and have their school board run the school district. That motion was defeated 3-4. The motion to put that up for discussion was defeated 3-4.
Wait a minute, slow down just for a second and help me understand this. You asked the lawyers that you all are paying millions of dollars to.
Yes.
Okay. The district is paying millions of dollars to defend the people who voted to give them millions of dollars and their job. And the members voted for the members said, no, that's not something that the lawyers that you're already paying millions of dollars to shouldn't do.
Well, their actual vote was, no, we don't even want to discuss this.
Jesus. We don't want to discuss whether or not our lawyers should defend our right to get elected to these jobs.
Right.
So, I have Archibald and, Jackson, have they stood in line? Or are they giving any indication of whether or not they're going to be running for re-election? Do they have the guts to do that? Do you think that they are concerned at all about suffering an embarrassment of the entire Slate team being unvoted out of office?
Well, I have not asked them directly. Several people told me going back a month, 2 months. That they were saying they were not going to run for re-election.
Cowards.
And certainly since May, they have been visiting community groups and you know, having their friends hold forums in which they say elections don't work. There should not be an elected board. There should be an appointed board.
Mm-hmm.
Could be cowardice, as you say, but they have established a consistent position of saying, and I guess to be consistent, we'd have to go back and say elections didn't work when people elected them too. If you're going to say we don't want elections, we want appointed people, then it makes sense not to run.
And I guess that this also underscores once again of how important it is who we put on the board, because what I'm looking at right now is that these two elected members, Archibald and Jackson, actually are poison pills they are people on a board whose sole purpose is to destroy the board.
Yes.
I mean that they are advocating the destruction of the thing that people voted them in to protect. I mean, it is probably one of the most foul and contemptuous actions that I've ever seen an elected official engage in. I'm here to make certain that nobody else can have this elected office ever again. That's my job.
Right. They're basically saying, I'm here to destroy this board and then say, oh, it's broken. The state has to come in and appoint people.
We'll be back. This is the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. I'm Liz Brown. I'm here with Peter Downs. Stay with me.
Good morning, St. Louis. 29 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920. Let's take a look at your traffic and your weather. Westbound 270 at Illinois 255 through 203. Look for that accident's been cleared. But you still have stop traffic. Eastbound 40 between Lindbergh and McKnight. Look for delays there. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road through Mid Rivers Mall. There's still some delays due to an accident that's been cleared from earlier. Westbound 5570 at Illinois 203 onto the PSB. Look for slow traffic. Northbound 55 from Arsenal to 44. Expect a little bit of a slowdown there. Eastbound 44 from Soccer Park through 270. Slowdown as you get to the 270 overpass. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at the Gravel Pit and Cleese Landing. Look for some delays. Eastbound 40 between Timberlake Manor and Mason. Look for slow traffic due to an earlier accident that's at Maryville Center and Mason. Westbound 70 from the 5570 overpass into the depressed section. Look for some delays there as well. And eastbound 270 from Bell Fountain through Chain of Rocks. It is slow. Northbound 270 from Dorset through 70. Look for some delays as you get off there. And Route 3, that ramp onto the PSB is slow right now. That is a look at your traffic. Now let's take a look at your weather. Sunny today with a high in the upper 40s this evening. Clear until early morning, becoming partly cloudy. Low in the upper 30s for Thursday. Partly sunny, then mostly cloudy throughout the day. High in the 50s. And Friday, occasional rain, highs in the 50s, but it'll be falling in the afternoon. Currently we have 26 degrees. Lambert Field is also reporting 26. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. St. Louis Schools Watch is up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 till 4 on AM 920 WGNU. And I look forward to hearing from you. If you have problems with a personal, work, or family relationship, call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA. For the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU. And for the personal issues that matter most, join me, Dr. Laura, now from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Then go do the right thing.
Hi, this is Connie Mitchell, co-host of Women Inspiring Women's Authors on the Air. Each Friday, my co-host Liz Tanz and I explore the world of writing and interview local and not-so-local authors. We discuss relevant, timely, and occasionally controversial subjects. So come hear just what it takes to write a book and learn something new along with us. Who knows? You might find a new favorite author. That's Authors on the Air, Fridays from 1 to 2 on AM 920 WGNU.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Good morning, Miss Liz. This is Kaylin Dixon, call you from the Clee School. Second grade room, 209. I'm calling you to thank you for coming to our school and spending time with our class. School is almost out. This summer, I'm going to spend the summer with my family. Thank you, Miss Liz, for the pretty African necklace you gave me. I just loved it. Yesterday, I received an achievement trophy at our Awards Day program. Have a wonderful summer. This is Caitlin Dixon for Room 209. Redundancy reigns supreme. Love you.
Love you.
Dogs say goodnight. And I think to myself.
This
is the St. Louis City Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly feature of the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call, and this is the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. My name is Liz Brown. I'm here with Peter Downs, and Peter, I want to let everybody know again that there is a bus trip taking place tomorrow. People going up to Jefferson City for the Missouri State Board of Education meeting. And I am asking all retired teachers out there, all parents who have had kids in the St. Louis Public Schools, all parents out here who have children in the St. Louis Public Schools, all interested citizens to go down to Jefferson City to this Board of Education, State Board of Education meeting. It is critical that we on the ground here who know good and doggone well what the sentiment, what the desires are about education here in the city of St. Louis. It's not what Francis Lay wants. It's not what Jim Shrewsbury wants. And it is not what Matt Blunt wants. Please get up to Jefferson City and let them know that. If you want to reserve a seat, you can call 781-2077, 781-2077. Where tomorrow? 6:15 at 2710 Hampton. They're going to be meeting at the Governor's Office Building, room 450. That's room 450. That's 200 Madison Street in Jefferson City at 9:30. So if you're driving up by yourself, you can meet them up there at 9:30 a.m. tomorrow morning, but be there tomorrow for the Missouri State Board of Education meeting. It is critical that you attend that. Very critical, isn't it, Peter?
Very much.
Okay. So let's talk about some other things that happened at the meeting last night. There were some items that were pulled from the agenda?
Yes, that's probably the other major decision. Mm-hmm. Before the meeting, where we're handed an agenda of things, and the superintendent every month has, it's called a consent agenda, but there are contracts, other things the superintendent wants done. And the president, Veronica O'Brien, had unilaterally, just completely on her own, pulled almost half the items that the superintendent wanted done, about 15 items.
Huh?
She just removed from the agenda. And she actually didn't tell the other board members, that they'd even been submitted. The superintendent had everybody sent a notice that there were these other items that she had submitted that the president had pulled. She sent all the board members the information about the pulled items, and she asked that they be put on the agenda for discussion. So Bill Priddy made a motion to add all those items back onto the agenda, and that passed 4-3 over the objections of Archibald Jackson and O'Brien, with Archibald, for example, proclaiming that he had just gotten those items the day before, and he didn't have time to read them. He can't vote on something he hasn't read. But the thing is, this is just putting things on for discussion next week. And even
Wait a minute, Peter. I understand you explaining that to the listening audience, but for Christ's sake, Archibald has been on this board for 3.5 years? Four years, and he doesn't know how it works. He needs to attend, another board meeting for dummies because he doesn't understand how it works?
But I don't know whether he understands that he has a week yet before he votes, and so there's plenty of time to read, or, again, he's just trying to keep the board from functioning and keep the district from functioning.
And back to Veronica pulling these items off the agenda, she never told you or any other members, just willy-nilly just pull this stuff off. Give us an example of one of the critical things that she just willy-nilly, for no reason, pulled off the agenda.
Several of them are items that are authorization for the district to apply for federal grants for technology items. The government, every year they have they take applications for money to fund computers and the wiring for computers and the whole backbone for computers in the school. Under a federal mandate that says it's important that we have computers in our classrooms.
She pulled it, and their deadline.
And the deadline is early February, so this is the last meeting before
the deadline of this, and she just pulled that. That's just almost, that is a hateful, irresponsible act of a board member, and also you got to question the sanity of such a decision. That makes no sense for a board member to pull off money that would be coming into the kids. doesn't cost the district anything, does it, Peter?
No.
This doesn't cost it, but it brings money into the district, and you all would have missed the deadline for this if Veronica had gotten her way.
Correct.
Outrageous. Let me get to a caller or two here. Nick, you're on the air.
Three quick things. People better get on that bus and get to Jeff City and let them know how they think, because they may not get another chance when they take their right to vote away. Secondly, this whole line that the state takeover comes as a result of Greg Williams resigning. I asked Ron Jackson, I reminded him, in June, you and Archibald and Slay were asking for a state takeover then. And I said that Craig Williams was still in charge of the district. And Ron Jackson said, as soon as Peter and Donna were elected on the board, I knew what the future was going to be. And so when the election happened, that's when they wanted the state takeover.
Of course.
Third thing is, a state takeover is not going to bring stability. You are not going to have teachers who are going to buy into having their rights and their votes taken away, the parents having their rights and their votes taken away. This is going to increase instability in the district. There's going to be lawsuits. So you were talking about much more turmoil than we have right now.
And again, Nick, this has nothing to do with how the district should be run. This is a political act. This is an attempt for someone other than the elected officials to run the district, get the money from the district, and use the money as they see fit. Period.
Right. I mean, the governing board will have no credibility with the voters and with the key stakeholders, the parents and the teachers.
Well, clearly. Absolutely. Absolutely. So people should be there at 6:15 at 2710 Hampton. Get up to the Missouri State Board of Education meeting.
Right.
All right, Nick. Thank you so much. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Good morning.
How are you doing, Liz?
I'm outstanding.
Well, you know, I think Veronica O'Brien is basically ran the school district into the ground. And, you know, I apathy myself, we just do not get enough people out to vote. And you get, you know, people who basically have no experience and handling millions of dollars. I don't know what we can do about it, but we cannot continue to have these type of people in a leadership position. She's proven.
Well, here's the thing. I'm going to congratulate all the voters out here because they saw what the Slay members were doing, and every election these folks have been unelecting Slay people, right?
Right.
So George Bush is sitting in the White House right now. That doesn't mean that you get rid of the presidency. That means that you do a better job of getting people elected into office.
That's right.
1-877-920-WGNU. Brother Mac.
Hello. How are you doing this morning, Liz? I would like to submit to the school board member, sir, if you could bring up in your next meeting somehow, talk about how this equates to voter nullification. In other words, people's votes just didn't count. Thank you.
All right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
you're right.
What this is.
That's exactly what's going on.
That it's just the elimination of people's right to vote. Because if we go down there and we elect school board members and we elect them to run the school district, and then they take their oath, they sit down, and they can't make any decisions without the approval of, without first having to go through this three-person unelected panel of people, What am I voting for?
That's right.
You know, I mean, we're not voting for anything.
I mean, I think he's right when he says it's voter nullification. And as the caller before him said, this push on the part of some of the city politicians to get a state takeover happened after the last school board election. And that's exactly what they want to do, is nullify the people's vote.
That's right.
They're saying, well, we don't agree with the way you vote, so therefore we want to take it away.
And,
it's not democracy to say somebody up at the top decides whether or not your election made the right decision or not, and said, oh, you can only have it if you vote my way.
Exactly. And let's think back to when the Slay 4 got elected, the Slay majority board got elected. all of us in opposition to that, all of us who understood the devastation that was going to come out of this, none of us said, well, let's let the state take over. Let's say that school board members can't have any more authority, can't have any more power. The thing that we said was we got to get rid of these people. And we have to explain why, and we have to stay on that course of getting rid of those people. And one by one, they've all been gotten rid of, and now the last two cowards aren't even going to run because they don't want to face the voters. I mean, if you are right, then face the voters, and the voters will put you in office.
Absolutely.
Let me get to this caller. Pat.
Oh, yes. Liz. Hi, Peter.
Hi.
I wanted to just put out there, I heard a couple of weeks ago that O'Brien had been sworn in on the retirement board, second for the school board. Secondly, I wanted to know, is that the bottom line for Slay to take over the school board's retirement system, since the system for the St. Louis City policemen and St. Louis City Fire Department are having problems with their retirement money?
Thank
you. I'll take your comment off the air, please.
And, Peter, remind the audience again, how much money we're talking about in the teacher retirement fund?
I think it's about $1
billion. $1 billion. It's a tempting thing for any politician out there. I want that money.
It's real money. Yes,
it is. So talk to us about that.
Well, she's right. Veronica O'Brien is on the retirement board. She appointed herself.
She appointed herself?
Yeah. The board went along with it back in September or October, somewhere in the fall. But, yeah, she nominated herself for to be on the retirement board.
They're in for
I don't know what Slay's bottom line is, but she's right. The police and fire retirement funds have problems because under Slay, the city has not made its required contributions to those funds.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy, the retirement board is in for a treat. We'll be back. Stay with us. Travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else? Where else, where else, where else indeed? Washers, dryers, refrigerators, stoves, everything that you need to make your house a home, your home a palace. You know what? Get on down to Sears and get your shop on. There's a wonderful sale that's going to start tomorrow. I'm going to be telling you more about that. Stay with me. But in the meantime, get to Sears.
This is Mark Hinderleiter, host of Lessons in Leadership. Every Friday afternoon, I interview high-level leaders about leadership issues that matter most. As far as I know, it's the only show of its kind. Whether you're an executive, manager, teacher, coach, volunteer leader, or the head of a family, this show is for you. You'll get practical tips from real leaders on topics that can give you the competitive edge in the marketplace. Tune in every Friday afternoon at 4 o'clock to Lessons in Leadership.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
The St. Louis Art Museum presents the next Family Sunday program, Plains Patterns, on January 7th at 1 p.m. Explore the patterns and symbols found on works of art in the exhibition Plains Indian Beadwork from the Donald Danforth Jr. Collection. Admission is free. For more information, call 314-721-0072. News to you from WGNU.
Good morning, Miss Liz.
Good morning. Who's this?
This is Dontrell Busby calling you from Laclede School, Zachy Gray, Room 209. Thank you, Miss Liz, for the gift from Africa that you gave to everyone. We are watching a movie. The movie is called Roots. In the movie, the setting is in a village called Jufurey. And Roots was voted by Alex Haley. Miss Liz, we had our Awards Day program, and I received an achievement trophy. Have a good summer. Dr. Busby from 209 for Dignity. Rise Supreme. Love you.
Love you. Thank you.
This is the St. Louis City Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly feature of the award-winning Wake Up Call.
That would make sense. Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. My name is Liz Brown. I'm here with Peter Downs. Peter, we must talk about the meeting before last week's meeting, because there are a whole lot of things that happened as a result of that. Talk to us about this special emergency meeting that was called by Veronica O'Brien.
Yes, January 2nd, I think it was. Mm-hmm. And on December 29th, she sent out emails calling the special emergency meeting. And to at least some of the board members and the superintendent, she wouldn't say what it was about. So we had this emergency meeting, but no idea what the emergency was.
Rumors were afoot.
Rumors were afoot, mm-hmm, that she wanted to fire Superintendent Borsa.
Mm-hmm.
And since she refused to say what the meeting was about.
Now, is that legal?
But insisted. Yeah, I don't know whether it's legal or not, but one of the even curiouser things about the meeting.
Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah,
curiouser.
Yeah, Alice in Wonderland. Is she sent out an email. She sent an email to the superintendent with copies to everybody else saying that it was a board directive that the superintendent had to attend this meeting. Board directive.
What board would that be?
You know, I don't remember any board directive, and Bill Purdy actually responded. He said, you know, the board has never met to make attendance mandatory for anybody. What are you talking about? And Veronica replied that four board members had decided that the superintendent had to attend this meeting. Well, that raises question about what meetings are going on in secret. Yeah, how could four board
now
members...
Now, that's illegal.
Yeah, that is illegal. How could four board members make a decision without there ever having been notice of any meeting, closed or open?
And not only is that illegal, but it's just a la deja vu all over again of the meeting that Ron Jackson, Archibald, Vince Schemel, and Colonel Klink had prior to their swearing in of what they were going to do once they were sworn in.
Yes, yes. They always argue that was okay because they weren't sworn in,
uh-huh,
yet. This time everybody's sworn in. So
uh-huh,
there's no doubt that if that meeting occurred, whether by phone or email or however,
that's illegal.
That it's illegal. So the meeting opens. They vote 4-3 to go into closed session. And
there was some controversy about that too, because initially there weren't enough votes to vote to keep it in closed session because Ron Jackson had not appeared yet.
Right. The meeting was very late getting started because Ron Jackson wasn't there.
Right.
Yet. So when Ron Jackson arrived, they voted 4-3 to go into closed session, and very quickly then started badgering Superintendent Borsaw. She said, look, if this is about me, I want it public. I want it in open session. And they refused. They refused to do their work in public.
Now, wait a minute. What are the grounds for having a private meeting that the public's money can't see?
This is, they said it was, their claim was that it was about personnel. Now, the personnel it was about
was the superintendent.
Was the superintendent. And she said, I want it open. I want it public. We had some argument with the lawyer about this. The lawyer said, well, teachers have a right to demand that there any discipline or inquiry about them be in public. But superintendents don't.
What law was that?
I don't know. Again, I'm not a lawyer. But this was the position the lawyer took. So then they tried to act it. They tried to act as, oh well, this really isn't about badgering you. Said, we've asked for various reports. So, you know, what are your plans for improving the district?
But that's public information.
And that's, you know, and I said, oh, thanks, but that's a public discussion. How we're improving the district is a public discussion. How we're doing professional development is a public discussion. Those kind of questions are all public. That's when I walked, Don and I walked out of the meeting then, to tell the crowd outside, because there was quite a crowd, that in our view, and we said when we walked out, you know, in our view, this is a illegal closed session. This should be an open session. We walked out and said, they're asking questions about plans for the district, which are things that should be discussed in public.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly on the 8 months I've been there, those are things that Mr. Jackson has never wanted to discuss in public, but those are things that should be discussed in public. Bill Purdy came out, you know, basically urging us to go back in. A lot of the crowd said, go back in, just in case they try and do anything. Like I said, there, Veronica O'Brien was trying to get Borisaw to take a leave of absence.
And my understanding also of this meeting is that there was a lot of, it was foul, it was bullying, it was ugly, it was attack after attack after attack after attack on Diana Borisaw. That's all it was.
It wasn't, and it was an example of the kind of the thing. Like Ron Jackson would ask, well, what are your plans for improving the test scores? And Borisaw wouldn't get three words out of her mouth. And he'd say, why don't you answer the question? Well, what are your plans for professional development? And she'd, again, try and answer, get maybe three or four words out, and he'd cut her off again. You know, well, what about this? What about differentiated instruction? Where's the data that shows it works on urban kids? You know, and you know, she'd say, you know, we gave you a whole stack of studies. Well, I didn't read those. You know, what about this? And every time she'd try and answer, every time Borisaw tried to answer a question, then just Jackson or O'Brien would cut her off with another question. And then say, see, you aren't answering the questions, you know. But she'd get three words out of her mouth and they'd cut her off again.
Now, this meeting was being recorded, right?
Yes, it was.
Okay. What happened at the end of the meeting?
At the end of the meeting, Veronica O'Brien opened up the tape recorder and took the tape out and took it with her.
Wait a minute. She took the tape with her?
She took the tape with her. Which, in my view at least, is very improper. That means that the secretary for the board office, who is supposed to type up the minutes of the meeting, can't do that. We have no official record of the meeting because Veronica O'Brien has it. We have no assurance that she doesn't do something to the tape. And because it was a personnel item on a particular person, the superintendent requested a copy, which she has the right to do. She has a right to the copy of any action taken on her, and she can't get that. So
And it's also my understanding, I've heard that Veronica, because I saw Veronica up in Jefferson City during the swearing in, that she had the tape with her and that she was playing the tape to people up in Jefferson City.
I've heard people say that. I don't know for sure that was the case.
That's what I've heard. And again, I can verify that she was up in Jefferson City because I saw her with my own eyes that she was up in Jefferson City. And I do know that she talked to a number of the legislators up there. But I've also heard that she took that tape and she played it for some of the legislators up there. If that is true, what should we make of that? Is that a problem? Is that something illegal? Is that something improper? Should we be concerned about that? And what should we be concerned about?
Well, I think it's definitely improper. Again, I'm not fully versed in the law. Typically, a closed meeting, the minutes of the closed meeting aren't released, but the decisions have to be released within 48 hours. And this meeting, the decision was that this meeting is closed to the voters of St. Louis, which is what four members of the school board said. It seemed to be entirely improper then to take it up and essentially open it to a few selected legislators.
But could there be something also more self-preserving than that, that Veronica did not want it to get out, what her behavior was like in this meeting, what she did in this meeting, what Ron Jackson did in this meeting, that it could be evidence that could be used against her? Do you think that, I mean, that's a possibility as well, isn't it?
In her taking the tape? Yeah, I think that's a possibility.
So what happened, was there a vote to keep
There was a vote. There was a vote. Bill Purdy made a motion to retain Borisaw. I seconded it, and so we forced a vote on that, and that vote passed 4-3. So the board voted 4-3 to keep Borisov as superintendent.
And that's a big deal. That's a really big deal, because had Diana Borisov not been retained, then guaranteed the state would have said, y'all can't even keep any superintendent for longer than 3 months. We need to go in here and do something.
Oh, yes, it is guaranteed. But to show what votes mean on the mm-hmm. school board, just back in November, the board adopted a policy on evaluating superintendents on their performance, setting goals according to the school improvement plan, and then evaluating whether or not they're meeting those goals. And then this meeting was held.
But again, held because Veronica O'Brien called it.
Veronica O'Brien called this meeting
exactly.
completely in violation of the policy we had just adopted 6 weeks before.
But this is Veronica O'Brien. And after the next school board election, Veronica O'Brien will not be the president of the board, will she?
I wouldn't think so, but it's up to the voters who they elect in the school board election.
No, if they elect somebody to the school board, the odds are that Veronica O'Brien will not be the president of the school board.
I think the odds are very good, but I'm sure Veronica is trying to find allies to run for school board. And it's up to the voters whether they elect allies of Veronica O'Brien or people who are going to work for the
If they run on that, I'm an ally of Veronica O'Brien. I feel pretty good with the outcome of that. I feel very good with the outcome of that. Peter Downs, thank you so much. And see
My
you
pleasure.
Next one. And there's a school board meeting coming
next
up.
Tuesday.
Next Tuesday.
7 p.m., Carl Lane.
Very good. See you then. I'll be back.
There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
From ABC News, I'm Daria Aldinger. President Bush will make it official tonight in a speech to the nation about Iraq. ABC's Martha Raddatz has more from the White House.
What the president will announce is an increase of 22,000 troops. 11,000 of those troops will go in within the next 30 days, 11,000 more over a period of 3 or 4 months, and one brigade, which is usually 3,500 to 5,000 troops, will remain in Al Anbar province. They were supposed to leave, but they will now have to stay.
Counselor to the President Dan Bartlett says the troop surge is to send a message to the new Iraqi government to step up to the plate.
It is not an open-ended commitment by America. It is time for them to start meeting these benchmarks. It's time for them to start reconciling past differences to move this country in a better direction.
The plan's gotten mixed reviews from Democrats.
Democrats are divided over how to respond. Senator Ted Kennedy has introduced legislation requiring the president to get an up or down vote before he orders a surge in troops. But Senator Joe Biden believes the Constitution does not give Congress the power to stop the commander-in-chief from prosecuting this war however he wants.
ABC's Sonia Crawford in Washington. A happy homecoming for members of the Michigan National Guard who'd been in Iraq for the last month and a half.
Oh, my son, he did good.
This is supposed to be the last overseas mission for the 127th Airlift Group for now. The nation's minimum wage workers could get a raise soon. Congress is expected to vote today to increase it to $7.25 an hour. It's part of the Democrats' 100 hours of reform. U.S. Airways is trying to sweeten the deal for Delta by boosting its buyout bid significantly by 20%. Now, what this offer is now worth is now more than $10 billion, and it's meant to send a message to the bankrupt carrier's creditors that they need to sell. Delta's management does not want to do that at this point. This is ABC News.
I'm Mark Goldston, Chairman and CEO of Net Zero. We started Net Zero 8 years ago to provide the best access at the best price. The Internet's changed a lot since then, and Net Zero's changed with it. We added Norton antivirus, pop-up blockers, and the fastest surfing available over dial-up. And it all downloads in just 2 minutes. We pride ourselves in providing quality Internet access with prices starting at $9.95 a month. Plus, if you're not satisfied within the first 30 days, we'll give you your money back. Call 1-800-NET-ZERO or visit netzero.com.
Office
in disarray? Can't find what you need? Well, Office Depot has great deals on file folders, binders, filing cabinets, shredders, and storage containers. Plus, we have over 800 calendars and planners to keep you up to date. So hurry in. Let Office Depot lend you a hand getting organized. Office Depot, taking care of business.
Oh, Office Depot!
Italian film producer Carlo Ponti has died. He won an Oscar for Dr. Zhivago and was married to actress Sophia Loren. Ponti was 94. California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger has given his State of the State address, but some Californians wonder if he left anything out on the State of the Treasury.
Schwarzenegger thinks his state is as influential as the cities of classic Greece.
We are the modern equivalent of the ancient city-states of Athens and Sparta. California has the ideas of Athens and the power of Sparta.
But economists wish he showed more of the discipline and self-denial of the Spartans. His message comes with a plan to borrow $43 billion, almost the same amount borrowed in bonds last year. And the worry is, if California has an earthquake, big wildfires, or any other unplanned need for cash, it's going to find its credit card all maxed out. Gil Gross, ABC News, Los Angeles.
If you're watching sports, it's probably pro football. The NFL is still tops with Americans, according to a Harris poll. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
Here's this hour's WGNU News update. I'm Peyton Colston. In the news this morning, a new school construction referendum might be on this spring's ballot in Edwardsville. The Edwardsville School Board was recently shown two different plans for expanding Warden Elementary School and the Warden Campus's alternative high school. The new referendum calls for $58 million if either proposal is okayed by the board. Edwardsville school officials are hopeful for the new plan, despite last spring's defeat of a $45.8 million school construction referendum, because the new plan doesn't call for any tax increases. In other news, a 21-year-old man's been sentenced to 3 years in prison for a crash while driving drunk that killed his friend. Nicholas William Messina was sentenced Monday for the accident last April that killed 22-year-old Ryan John Hart of O'Fallon, Missouri, and injured another passenger in Messina's auto. Messina entered guilty pleas for manslaughter and second-degree assault. And as sports noted, men's college hoops, Mizzou is in Texas looking for the Tigers' first conference win tonight. They lost their first conference matchup of the season Saturday to Iowa State. The Tigers and the Longhorns both come into tonight's game with 11-3 records. Tip-off is at 7 o'clock local time. I'm Peyton Colston, and that's this hour's WGNU News Update.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. Let's take a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Westbound 270 at Illinois 111 and 203. Look for stop traffic due to an earlier accident. It's been cleared, but there's still some delays. Northbound Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge. That ramp is stop and go. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois split all the way into Laclede's Landing. Look for stop and go traffic. Northbound Memorial at 70 westbound. Look for a vehicle on fire. Left turn lanes onto westbound 70. Westbound 64 from 25th into the 5570 merge. Look for stop-and-go traffic. Westbound 5570 from Illinois 203 into the PSB. Look for delays. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road through Mid Rivers Mall. There's still some slow traffic going on. Northbound 55 from Arsenal through 44. It is slow. Eastbound 44 from Soccer Park through 270. Look for delays. Eastbound 40 between Timberlake Manor and Mason. Look for some slow traffic due to an accident. It was cleared earlier. Westbound 70 at 55 all the way into the depressed section is slow. Eastbound 270 from Bell Fountain through the Chain of Rocks Bridge is slow. Northbound 270 from Dorset through 70. Look for delays in the 70 right-hand lanes. And northbound 270 on either side of the 44 interchange. Look for some delays. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast. Sunny day, high in the upper 40s. This evening clear until early morning, becoming mostly cloudy with a low in the upper 30s. For Thursday, partly sunny in the morning, mostly cloudy throughout the day, high in the 50s. And Friday, highs in the 50s, occasional rain, but the temps will be falling in the afternoon. Currently we have 26 degrees. Lambert Field is also reporting 26 as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news
or your traffic and your weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. The Democrats have announced a 100-hour plan. Changes that they're going to make to prove themselves, to prove their commitment, to prove to prove that they are what they say, what they want you to believe that they are. Let me put it that way. So they're going to have a 100-hour agenda. 100-hour agenda. Okay. Okay. What does this 100-hour agenda mean? What kind of impact is this 100-hour agenda going to have? We're going to talk about that, and not from the perspective of a Democrat, but we're going to talk about that from the perspective of the Green Party. The Green Party. We're going to get their input on if they were doing the first 100 hours, what would they be doing? What are some of the issues that are being addressed, and what are the issues that are not being addressed? What are the issues that should be addressed? We're going to have that discussion because yesterday we had a discussion with the people, United for a Fair Economy, and they had just released their report, What Would Martin Luther King Do in the First 100 Hours? And missing from the discussion, according to the United for a Fair Economy, their executive director told us yesterday, that people of color are completely missing from this equation. What would Martin Luther King do? in the first 100 hours of a Democratic majority in the United States House and Senate. We're going to be talking about the first 100 hours from a Green perspective with Scott McLaren, media coordinator with the Green Party, joining us from Washington, D.C. I'm Liz Brown. Hold on. This is Riveting Radio. We'll be back.
This is Decent Guy Don, the original conspiracy hunter. You know, the guy that keeps you up to date on all the good guys and the bad guys out of the Council of Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, the Illuminati crowd, and assorted other characters who are squeezing the life out of our great American country. Tune in every evening to hear the thunderous crash as I pull the linchpin from the foundations of the House of the New World Order as it crashes down. That's 7 p.m. Monday through Friday with the conspiracy hunter right here at WGNU 920 a.m.
What America needs is affordable health insurance. Finding affordable health insurance for you and your family, it's on everyone's mind right now. If you're self-employed, it's on your mind too. One of the things we face as entrepreneurial Americans is finding affordable health insurance. Well, I found a company you can call right now and get affordable health insurance. Midwest National Life Insurance Company of Tennessee. Write this number down. 877-652-7793. That's 877-652-7793. Midwest specializes in helping entrepreneurs of all kinds, those of us who run small businesses or don't get health insurance where we work, to protect our families with affordable health insurance. Call 877-652-7793. Not available in all states. Association membership is required in most states. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Exclusions and limitations apply.
This is Mark Glass. Tune in every Friday at 5:15 for What's New at the Movies on AM 920. I sit through the bad ones so you don't have to, and give you an early heads up on the good stuff. So for advice on getting the best mileage from your entertainment budget, join me, Mark Glass, for What's New at the Movies, Friday afternoons at 5:15 on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues and the movies that matter most to you.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Young hearts can go their way. Can't put it off another day. I don't care what others say. They think we don't listen anyway. Time has come today.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the wake-up call. My name is Liz Brown, and the number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. Don't forget that this show is archived daily at whiterosesociety.org, so if you've missed an hour, go get an hour at whiterosesociety.org. Well, the long-anticipated first 100 hours of the Democratically-led 110th Congress is now officially underway. They plan to pass 6 pieces of legislation during this time. We need to talk about this 100-hour agenda. And we need to talk about it from other types of perspectives, and that's why we have joining us this morning from Washington, D.C., the media coordinator with the Green Party of the United States, Scott McLaren. Scott, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Pretty good.
Good. So, 100 hours, 6 agenda items from homeland security to stem cell research to minimum wage. What's your response?
Well, a few things are absolutely necessary. Stem cell research is one of them. The problem with the Democratic Party agenda is that it is so modest, so inadequate, that it really doesn't change things systematically, and it leaves unaddressed a lot of the very real problems that people are facing across the country. And probably the most obvious example of that is the their plans on health care. It's It is so modest that it really, I mean, it basically leaves insurance companies, HMO firms, and these drug manufacturers in control of our health care.
Well, one of the things the Democrats are going to do is they're going to now make it do what the VA hospital does. They go out and they negotiate for the cost of their drugs. Right now it's up to the drug companies to decide what the lowest price is going to be. Do you take exception to that?
Well, no. Actually, I think that's a good first step. But I want Democrats to put national health insurance, single-payer coverage, for covering every American back on the table. We have more than 45 million Americans who have no health coverage and millions more with inadequate health coverage and who, especially older people, who don't have access to their drugs. And what the Democrats are doing, they're taking steps to provide some more access to drugs. But we need to get national health insurance back on the table to address the real health crisis in this country, which is that over 45 million people have no coverage.
And when you talk about national health coverage, what is that? Is that different than universal health care?
Well, it is real universal health care. When you hear the Democrats talk about the Clinton plan as universal health coverage, that is back in 1993. That is very misleading. That was not universal health care. Real universal health care is single-payer, quality coverage for every American, regardless of age, regardless of employment, regardless of residence, regardless of prior medical condition. And we're not going to get that as long as the insurance companies and HMOs who need to get their corporate profits are left in charge. And the problem is that Democrats are almost as much under the thumb of these corporations as Republicans are. In fact, according to the Center for Responsive Politics, OpenSecrets.org, the highest congressional recipient of lobby money from these firms is Representative Hillary Clinton of New York, a Democrat.
Well, let's talk about minimum wage. One of the things that on the list of their priority, raising it from $5.15 an hour to $7.25 an hour over a number of years. Good idea?
Again, this is a first step, but and this is the Green Party has been calling for this over and over again. Check our website, gp.org. We need to get livable wages back on the table. We need to get wages on the table that will lift people out of poverty.
And define again a livable wage as opposed to a minimum wage.
A livable wage is what someone with three family members can live on. And live comfortably on.
Because when you do the math on the $7.25 an hour, and that's not even going to take place immediately, when you do the math on the $7.25 an hour wage, for one person, that's not even poverty.
Exactly. And the Democrats are not talking about that. We need to have a national discussion about what constitutes a livable wage so that we can get Americans all over the country out of poverty.
And with respect to with respect to the other issue that they're dealing with, the 9/11 Commission report.
About half of the 9/11 Commission report's recommendations have been implemented, and of course we need to get all of them implemented. But the national discussion over Homeland Security has to be broadened far beyond that, and we also need to hold the Bush administration accountable for really providing insecurity for the United States. And that is why the Green Party has stressed over and over again since 2003, by the way, first of all, we've got to get our troops out of Iraq immediately, and secondly, Democrats need to discuss impeachment of President Bush and Vice President Cheney for numerous abuses of power that have weakened our nation, have weakened our standing in the world, and we need to restore the rule of law to the United States.
You said that the Green Party wants to broaden this discussion of national security. What do you mean?
We need to understand that the Iraq war, that abuses in places like Abu Ghraib, the responsibility for which goes right to the top, that these are abuses of power, that these are high crimes and misdemeanors. When President Bush is given legislation from Congress and he adds these signing statements that claim to exempt him from following these laws, that weakens our democracy, and by weakening our democracy also weakens national security. These are impeachable offenses.
Well, let's talk about the Green Party for a second. How does the Green Party look in the year 2007?
We have come through an election in which we made some strong but incremental advances. We had some of our best campaigns for Congress. Our disappointment is that, number one, we did not get a Green member into Congress, and we desperately need a few Greens in Congress. I think that would change the whole political landscape, because it would change the terms of the public debate and prove to Democrats that they cannot take the votes of so many Americans for granted. As you know, there are whole states, whole populations of the United States, whole constituencies that rely on the Democrats too much right now.
Well, talk to us about, again, how does the party look in the year 2007? You didn't get anybody into Congress. How have you done statewide?
We've done pretty well. We have our first mayor, Gail McLaughlin, in California. She's the new mayor of Richmond, California. The first Green mayor of a city that whose population is larger than 100,000. And also we got more people around the country into local offices.
And numbers-wise, how I'm looking for some numbers here.
Oh, I don't have them in front of
me.
I'm sorry.
Okay. But when we look at the Green Party agenda, are you surprised that you didn't do better, given the atmosphere of the last election, that it was throw the bums out, it was get rid of the majority party in Congress? People were looking for people. The war was the dominant issue. Your party's position is to get the troops out now. Are you surprised that you didn't do better? And tell us how many people you had up for running during this time.
We had nearly 400 people running for office. But, Liz, this is what I think happened. I think people listened to Green candidates, and they agreed with Green candidates. And then they said, we've got to get the Republicans out, so they voted for Democrats, even though they knew that the Democratic candidates were in many ways, woefully inadequate.
So the lesser of two evils type of a thing?
Yes, and that's what we need to convert the United – we need to convert the United States – we need to convert the American people into thinking that we need more parties, we need more democracy, we need things like instant runoff voting and public campaign financing that allow more voices to get into Congress and to other public offices, and by doing so, broaden the political debate so we can seriously consider things like immediate withdrawal from Iraq, so that we can have a strong movement for impeachment. There was a terrific rally here on last week, Thursday, January 4th, calling for impeachment of President Bush to get the Bush regime out of power.
Well, we actually have a gift from Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney that the articles have been filed.
Yes, and in the Green Party right away endorsed Ms. Kinney's efforts publicly. It's a tragedy that Ms. McKinney is no longer in Congress right now. She is one of the strongest. She's one of the reasons that she was one of the small hopes for the Democratic Party, and she's gone right now. And you know, we hope we see Ms. McKinney reemerge into national politics.
Let me get it to a caller or two here. Brian, do you have a question for my guest, Scott McLaren?
Yes, it may have come as a surprise. As a conservative, I would also like to see the president impeached. But for the Green Party, I have a couple questions. I also kind of support your living wage idea also. But what do you do when you have maybe up to 20 million illegals bringing down the wages of the labor market, and how do you stand on the border in enforcing the border? And point three, if you don't support enforcing the border, is it okay if we have 50 million people in here, 80 million people, 100 million people? I'll hang up and listen.
All right, Scott, and we're going to take a break. I'm going to let you think on that, and we'll come back and address that question and take some other ones as well.
Okay.
All right, we're going to take a break. I'm talking to Scott McClarity. He's a media coordinator with the Green Party. He's joining us from Washington, D.C. We're talking about the Democrats' first 100 hours, legislation that should be introduced, things that they should be considering. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with me. I'll be back.
Good morning, St. Louis. 29 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. We'll look at this hour's traffic and weather. This is northbound 270 at Dorset and 70. Look for some delays in the right lane as you get off on the 70 exits. Wet northbound 270 at Tesson Ferry through Big Bend. You can expect some delays around the 44 interchange. Eastbound 70 between Bryan Road and Mid Rivers Mall. Look for some slow traffic due to an earlier accident. Northbound Route 3. Onto the Poplar Street Bridge, you can expect some delays. Westbound 64 at Vowell Avenue, the 5570 merge, look for delays. Westbound Kingbridge traffic into the gravel pit from landing, look for some delays all the way back through there. Westbound 270 from the Illinois side through Illinois 3 and Chain of Rocks Bridge, look for delays. And a vehicle still on fire and Memorial at 70 westbound. Eastbound 40 between Lindbergh through McKnight, look for slowdowns, and from Maryville Center through Mason Road, look for slowdowns as well. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your weather. Your weather looks like this. Sunny today with a high in the upper 40s this evening. Clear until early morning, becoming partly cloudy with a low in the upper 30s for Thursday. Partly sunny in the morning, mostly cloudy throughout the day. Chance of rain with a high around 50. And Friday, occasional rain, highs in the 50s, but the temps will be falling in the afternoon. Currently, we have 27 degrees. Lambert Field is also reporting 27. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At ConnectCare, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At ConnectCare, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At ConnectCare, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At ConnectCare, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At ConnectCare, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At ConnectCare, we still provide urgent care. And at ConnectCare, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at ConnectCare, but we're still connected to you. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
This is Pastor Devon Crusoe. Please join me on Monday evenings from 8 o'clock to 8:30 with Unfolding Destiny broadcast. This broadcast is designed for those who are sick and shut in, those who are broken and need to be mended, those who are out of their place and cannot find their way, and those who know that their destiny is predicated upon their faith and that it is divine in ministry. So please tune in every Monday evening at 8 o'clock with Pastor Devon Crusoe and Unfolding Destiny broadcast.
Coming up in the 5 o'clock hour on today's Sloan Ranger Show, Lloyd and his guest, author Sean Scallon, discuss the future of non-major political parties. And in the 6 o'clock hour, Lloyd talks to Judge Robert H. Durker about his new book, The Tyranny of Tolerance. That's the Sloan Ranger, tonight from 5 till 7 here on AM 920 WGNU.
For those that should be heard, this is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Well, Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. This hour we're having a conversation with Scott McClarity, media coordinator with the Green Party, joining us from Washington, D.C. Scott, we had a question that we went off the air with. Immigration, Green Party.
Well, the first thing that we need to do is repeal and renegotiate NAFTA, because NAFTA has driven, number one, driven millions of Mexican people into poverty and has also weakened workers' rights here in the United States. And if we did that, that would immediately slow the flow of people into across the border. And secondly, we need to strengthen unions. We need to strengthen workplace democracy in the United States. I think that would immediately cure concerns about the number of undocumented immigrants. The Green Party, you know, we support human rights. We support the legalization of the immigrants who are here now, and welcoming them into the American workforce. But we need to do so at the same time providing stronger workers' rights in the United States and addressing the devastation that NAFTA and other free trade, so-called free to trade trade agreements, have caused on both sides of the border.
Barney Frank, chairman of what committee he is, but in the majority party has floating this idea that if the Republicans will agree to closing the gap between the wealthy, closing the economic gap, that the Democrats will go ahead with, they will support the Republicans on their trade issues. What do you think of such a deal?
That's a self-defeating deal, because the trade agreements that have been negotiating so far have been throwing more profits into corporations and have been weakening the powers of working people in the United States, and also weakening our environmental laws too, and our own national sovereignty. We strongly disagree with Representative Frank right there.
With respect to, I'm going to take you back to a quick point that you made before the last break. You talked about the instant runoff voting. The challenge to the Green Party and the challenge to any other party outside of the Democrat or the Republican Party is being able to convince the electorate, number one, and secondly, getting in there to be able to have a political presence. When there are two parties like that, how does instant runoff help with that? And what is the biggest challenge of being a third party in a two-party country?
Well, instant runoff voting allows voters to rank their choices, and it ensures that whoever is elected has the support of the majority. Usually the way it's implemented is that people can write in their first, second, and third choices, and the minority, the candidates with the lowest votes get removed from the equation. And, you know, if I have put candidate C down as my first choice and C has gotten very few votes, then my second choice, perhaps candidate D, is then moved up to first choice. And so that's basically how instant runoff voting works. And you can read more about instant runoff voting, proportional representation, and other steps towards making the United States more democratic at a very good website, fairvote.org. Again, fairvote.org. And what this does is it prevents what the Democrats like to call spoiling, which is that a third party candidate in an election would supposedly detract votes from the person who otherwise would have a majority support.
How do you get people, how do you get American citizens to move off of the lesser of two evils political philosophy? And also, doesn't the Green Party and any party out there suffer from what happened, the repercussions of what happened in the first George Bush election when Ralph Nader was in the race. That there are a lot of people out there that blame what's happening right now because of that word that you used, the spoiler thing.
Well, let's remember that Ralph Nader could not have spoiled for Al Gore in 2000 because Al Gore won that election.
Mm-hmm.
The reason George Bush is in the White House has nothing to do with the Green Party or Ralph Nader. It's because of what Republicans did underhandedly in Florida and because of a politically biased Supreme Court decision. We need to address that up front. The Republicans got away with it in 2000, and then we saw again in 2004 that Republicans used underhanded methods to manipulate
in Ohio
the vote outcomes in Ohio, possibly New Mexico and other states as well. And we're not going to get really fair elections. We're not going to have real democracy in the United States until enough American people get outraged at what is happening. But basically, we need a new American revolution to restore our sense of democracy here.
But how do you get Americans to do that? Because, again, people were scared in this last election. They were scared of the idea of a continued Republican majority. And they were scared of that. And yet and still, when they looked at the Green Party's agenda that get us out of, I wanted to say Vietnam, but that's not correct, get us out of Iraq now, they said, well, no, you're not going to win, but I just want to make sure that we don't have these Republicans in there. How do you, what is the Green Plan's method of changing the mindset out here?
Liz, it's an uphill battle, and we're telling people that the Green Party offers a different kind of agenda, and on many, perhaps most of our agenda, we believe that the American people support us. And we need to persuade people that it is all right to vote for candidates who represent your own ideals and interests. If you can't vote for a candidate who represents your own ideals and interests, then democracy has basically failed anyway.
Well, what are some of the structural impediments that exist out there? Because it's not just changing people's mind, but there are some barriers that are there that actually benefit the Democrat, the existence of only two parties.
Well, you're right. A lot of states have these very unfair ballot access laws that were enacted by backroom deals, basically gentlemen's agreements between Democrats and Republicans to make sure that they remain in power.
Well, give us an example of one of those.
Well, probably a really radical example is Pennsylvania, in which a Democrat or Republican candidate needs to collect 2,000 signatures to get on the ballot, but other parties need to collect officially 67,000 signatures, which really means they need to collect something like 100,000 to prevent themselves to prevent their petitions from being challenged and disqualified.
And
that's grossly unfair. Anybody can see that.
Well, but surely that's been challenged, Scott.
It has been challenged, but it's a very slow process. It's a very slow process restoring fair democratic laws to the United States. We're challenging it in court. We're challenging it in legislatures, and we're challenging it at the very at the basic grassroots level, so people know what is going on and can respond and insist that the laws be changed.
Mm. Let me get to another caller too. Dimitri, you have a question for the media coordinator for the Green Party, Scott McClarity.
Yes, I do, Liz. Thank you. Mr. McClarity, I have three questions to ask you. First of all, how many what's the percentage of eligible voters that didn't go to the polls? Secondly, what is the priority of the winners are the ones who raise the most money? And thirdly, I would think that people who stayed at home are so pessimistic about voting that that was a no vote for everybody. Thank you. I'll hang up and listen.
And Dimitri, before you go, make the second question clearer, please. I don't understand the second question.
The second question is that usually the candidates that win are the ones who have raised the most money for their campaign, because that always comes out through political process that this candidate has more money than, like, for instance, Hillary Clinton has more money than Obama.
So what's the question?
Well, the question is, what is the percentage of candidates who win are the ones who raise the most
Got
money?
It. Okay.
Okay,
thank you, Liz. And Scott, you want to start with the how do you want to start with these?
Well, let me see if I can address his questions one by one. It's usually between 40% and 50% of the American electorate that turns out to vote, and that's shameful. We need to get everybody to vote, but I have a lot of sympathy for some people for certain people who don't vote, because they have made an informed choice that they. An informed decision that they don't really have enough choice in who they vote for. They don't see enough difference between the Democrats and Republicans.
But Scott,
are differences between the Democrats and Republicans, but people have seen over and over again that it's not enough difference, and that it changes the direction of the United States or changes their own lives and personal security.
But don't, when we compare our voting records to other countries, can we really say that it's a disinterested vote, or should we say that we make it so difficult for people to vote? A lot of countries vote on the weekends. A lot of countries vote for long periods of time. We vote on a weekday. A lot of people can't get off work, or their bosses won't let them off, even though that they're supposed to. We make it difficult for people to vote.
You're absolutely correct. That is another part of the problem. We need to make it much easier. We need to make it possible for people to show up on election day, register there or change their party right there, and then head right over to the voting booth.
Absolutely. And how hard can that be in the digital age?
It's not hard. It's not hard at all.
And we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Scott McLaren, media coordinator for the Green Party. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me. You don't have to travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else? Where else indeed? Washers, dryers, refrigerators, stoves, and a great sale coming up on Thursday. You don't want to miss it. I'm going to be talking more about that. Sears, get your shop on right there at Union and Natural Bridge. Get on down to Sears. It's the only full-service Sears in the city of St. Louis. Get down there, get your shop on, and tell them I told you to.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
Hi, I'm Randy Grimm. Join me Fridays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. for Animal Tales on AM 920 WGNU. Animals have always mattered to me, so that's why we discuss the issues that matter most to you and your animal companions. Join us as our special guests and I examine puppy mills, parrots, turtles, ferrets, and answer your questions about pet care. For 2 hours of fur friends and fun every week, join me, Randy Grimm, for Animal Tales, Fridays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on AM 920 WGNU. Woof.
Coming up in the 5 o'clock hour on today's Sloan Ranger Show, Lloyd and his guest, author Sean Scallon, discuss the future of non-major political parties. And in the 6 o'clock hour, Lloyd talks to Judge Robert H. Durker about his new book, The Tyranny of Tolerance. That's the Sloan Ranger, tonight from 5 till 7 here on AM 920 WGNU.
Informative, educational, provocative.
This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Clouds might bring you pain, but I will be in your heart still, telling you don't look down, don't feast your eyes on things that are on the ground, and if it gets hard to focus when you're traveling almost at this speed of sound.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. My guest this hour is the media coordinator with the Green Party of the United States. Joining us from Washington, D.C., Scott McLarity. Scott, welcome back.
Hi.
We were talking about the percentage of people that vote, how difficult it is to vote here in the United States when compared to other countries. And also, the caller had asked, Demetrius had asked the question of the whether or not the candidates, what is the percentage of the candidates who win compared to the candidates that have the most money? Is there a higher percentage of the people? If you got the money, you're going to be winning the election.
I don't have a hard percentage sitting in front of me, Liz. But what we do know, what we are pretty sure of, we see over and over again in elections, is that the candidates who have raised the most corporate money, campaign donations from corporations that have their own particular agenda that they want to see enacted by these candidates, they're the ones who are able to purchase TV ads. They're the ones who are able to say, well, you know, I'm the only really serious candidate here, and they're the ones who are getting elected for that reason. And, you know, that's a triumph of corporate power. It's a triumph of propaganda as well, and a triumph of unfair election practices. And that is why the Green Party, number one, takes no corporate money itself. We are not beholden to corporate lobbies. And number two, why we call for public financing of campaigns, why we have been praising these clean elections options in states like Arizona and Maine that have allowed candidates to run without taking that kind of money that really amounts to legalized bribery.
And explain, give us an example of how it works in Arizona.
Well, if a candidate, I don't know the precise laws, I can't read it to
right.
you, but we know, but what I do know is that if a candidate has been able to raise a certain number, let's say 1,000 donations of at least $5 or more from their constituents, they get matching funds from the state to run. So in other words, they have established a certain groundswell of support on their own behalf that proves that they are viable candidates, and they have been able to raise a certain amount of money that gives them a reasonable chance of getting a good percentage in the election, and that is very, very fair.
Well, now, when we see these clean campaign types of laws that get on the books, like in Arizona and other states, are we seeing a corresponding number of different types of political parties that are entering into the political fray?
In Maine, we had four candidates running for governor, and two of the candidates were very progressive. There was a progressive Democrat who ran as an independent and a very strong Green candidate, Pat LaMarche, one of our best people in the party, and they got pretty good percentages.
What is the Green Party's agenda with respect to people of African descent?
Liz, I want to talk about two things that aren't being talked about publicly at all right now, and the Democrats are not addressing it, and certainly the Republicans aren't. And the first one, we've got to remember that there are two wars going on that are affecting young people and especially young black men. And the first war, of course, is what's going on in Iraq. But the second one is the war on drugs, which is, number one, a money pit. We're throwing away billions of dollars, but it's also wasting lives. The result of the war on drugs is hundreds of thousands of people, and disproportionately young African-Americans who are being sent to prison. We need to stop the war on drugs and address the problem of drugs as a medical and a social problem. The second thing that we should talk about is statehood for the District of Columbia. And now I live here, so I have a personal interest in that. But if we had statehood, full statehood for Washington D.C., we would have two senators and a representative. They would likely be very progressive, and they would very likely be African American, because District of Columbia is a majority African American jurisdiction.
Is a city
and that
of Washington
would, that would change the political landscape.
Well, and there was some traction for that, because we had, I believe it was Utah, that wanted another congressional district.
You're talking about the Davis bill.
Right.
But that Davis bill is a distraction, and it is a little bit of a trap, because if that passes, it will give Utah an extra electoral college vote. It will not really provide democracy for the people of D.C. And, you know, we don't have democracy here. Congress basically controls all our policies and legislation. And on top of that, it gives a single House vote to somebody from Washington, D.C., no Senate votes, and that's why some people in D.C. have said that gives us one-third citizenship. Remember the three-fifths citizenship compromise in the before the fall of slavery? This gives us one-third citizenship here in Washington, D.C., and that is kind of an insult to us. On top of that, The Davis bill is in danger of being challenged in court and overturned, because the U.S. Constitution only provides for voting representation in Congress for states. That is why we are calling for statehood, and we are asking for the rest of the United States to support statehood for Washington, D.C.
Where else? Where does the authority for granting statehood come from?
It comes from Congress, and that is why we urge people, I mean, especially people who live in cities. You know, Washington, D.C. is a city. If we had a city that was a state in Congress, the interests of cities, the interests of African Americans would be vastly stronger represented in Congress. Right now, cities are underrepresented in Congress because of the power of rural and suburban areas in states across the United States.
And so it would take a vote of Congress to do this?
Yeah, and what's interesting is that it would not take an amendment to the Constitution. It would take a majority vote. The first step would be to shrink the borders of the constitutionally mandated federal enclave to include just the federal properties like the White House and the Mall and the Capitol and all that, and that would free up the people of D.C. to petition Congress for statehood. That would pass, like all other territories that became states, that would pass by a simple majority. And we could achieve that, but we need the political will, and we need support from all over the United States, people to call up their members of Congress and say, Let D.C. become a state. Make D.C. a state. And, you know, it won't only benefit the people of Washington, D.C., it will benefit people all over the United States, and especially African-American voters.
If I go to the Green Party website, can I see an agenda about and for people of African descent?
We have the Black Caucus. You can check the Black Caucus's website. You can visit our platform, and you will see that the Green Party's platform addresses African American concerns far better than I would say any other political party of any number of, you know, of reasonable numbers across the United States.
Scott,
please visit our website, gp.org, and see where we stand.
Scott McClarity, thank you so much for joining me on the Wake Up Call this morning.
Thank you.
Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown. I will be back in the next hour. Stay with me.
I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can you listen?
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can you listen?
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. Struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who would dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino,
issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. Yes, mistakes were made in Iraq. That's what President Bush is expected to tell the nation tonight. Here's ABC's Ann Compton at the White House.
The president will speak tonight from a cozy fireside in the White House library, a small room packed with historic antiques. It's a different atmosphere than the formal Oval Office desk where the president announced the start of the Iraq war.
The president is expected to call up another 22,000 troops to Iraq. ABC's Terry McCarthy in Baghdad says the locals could use help.
In the Dora neighborhood in southern Baghdad, which we visited last August and were able to walk through the market, locals are now too scared to leave their homes. One family told us they haven't been to the market in months.
Some of the troops could be going to the dangerous Al-Anbar province. These two GIs who are already there aren't sure that's a good idea.
It's either going to be Shiites or Sunnis win. They're going to kill each other, and eventually one of them will win.
I don't think we need to be here. I don't think we're changing anything or doing anything for, you know, the states that's going to benefit us here.
Some Democrats are vowing to fight the president's plan. It's been 10 years since the minimum wage earners got a raise. That could change today. Congress is expected to vote to increase it to $7.25 an hour. Well, it's official. 2006 was pretty toasty. ABC News national correspondent Jim Hickey has the story.
We're having a heat wave.
By meteorological standards,
a tropical heat
wave. It is a heat wave. 2006 was the warmest year on record, 2.2 degrees above the 20th century mean, according to NOAA. The weather people say two factors contributed to the higher temperatures, the El Niño weather pattern in the Pacific, and a long-term warming trend linked to increased greenhouse gases. In other words, global warming.
We're having a heat wave.
Jim Hickey, ABC News.
Italian film producer Carlo Ponti has died. The Academy Award winner was married to actress Sophia Loren. He was 94 years old. This is ABC News.
I'm Mark Goldston, chairman and CEO of Net Zero. We started Net Zero 8 years ago to provide the best access at the best price. The Internet's changed a lot since then, and Net Zero's changed with it. We added Norton antivirus, pop-up blockers, and the fastest surfing available over dial-up. And it all downloads in just 2 minutes. We pride ourselves in providing quality Internet access with prices starting at $9.95 a month. Plus, if you're not satisfied within the first 30 days, we'll give you your money back. call 1-800-NET-ZERO or visit netzero.com.
Office in disarray? Can't find what you need? Well, Office Depot has great deals on file folders, binders, filing cabinets, shredders, and storage containers. Plus, we have over 800 calendars and planners to keep you up to date. So hurry in. Let Office Depot lend you a hand getting organized. Office Depot, taking care of business.
Whoa, Office Depot.
It's award season, and what would it be without Mr. Blackwell's hits and misses when it comes to fashion? ABC's David Blaustein has the story.
You have no style or sense of fashion.
At number 10, Mr. Blackwell puts Oscar winner Meryl Streep on notice, stating her beauty of a career cannot be denied, but that beast of a wardrobe is pure mother of the bride. Skipping down to number 3, Blackwell says Lindsay Lohan is trapped in fashion's fast lane. Looks like Lindsay's ready to remake Baby Jane. Britney Spears and Paris Hilton. Tie for number 1, of which Blackwell comments, two peas in an overexposed pod. Style free and fashion deprived, ladies and gentlemen, the Screen Girls. Have arrived. David Blaustein, ABC News.
Well, it looks like a cell phone, but the only kind of call you'll receive on the AccuFat is of the wake-up variety. The gadget's